lesson one of our series, we talked about partnering with God. In lesson two, we started talking about the myth of an unanswered prayer, and that went into a second week, so we did part two of a myth, or the myth of an unanswered prayer. Lesson four, we talked about our relationship with God. And last week, from Switzerland, our guest speaker, Ralph Rickenbaugh, who talked about prayer as a means of growth. Today, I'm going to wrap our series up discussing the subject of trust, the foundation of prayer. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. What do you do when God feels distant? What do you do when God doesn't cooperate? Yeah. How about when God's unfair? What do you do? The second question, why is trusting God so difficult for us, even scary? I mean, we call him Father. Some of us didn't have a good relationship with our Father, and so our relationship with our Heavenly Father is scary. Yeah. It's hard to trust him if he doesn't answer our prayer. So listen to message number two and three. Yeah, well, Proverbs chapter 3 has an interesting verse in it. Verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Watch this, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Now that Hebrew, the phrase lean not in Hebrew means upon your own understandings, you are resting upon nothing. Wow. When we try to process it all, weighing the pros and cons, and then make our decision thinking, well, that must be it. And since I don't really feel God, and it seems like God's not answering, I'll just take control of this thing and I'll move forward. I've weighed the pros and the cons and I'm going with what feels best, looks best, seems best, what others are telling me. Bless God, here we go. And the scripture says you are resting upon nothing when you do that. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says this, the Spirit also sighs within us with words too deep for articulation. So sometimes you just can't pray. Assisting us in our prayers when we struggle to know how to pray properly. Now, I know none of you ever struggle with that, but occasionally, weekly, I struggle with just how to pray. Especially if it seems like there's a glass ceiling anyway and God's not answering my prayer. How about you? Do you struggle with how to pray? What to pray? Watch. He assists us in our prayers when we struggle to know how to pray properly. How's he do that? When we feel restricted in our flesh, that's not like just your body, that's our being of flesh, our flesh being, he supersedes our clumsy efforts and he hits the bullseye every time. See, you might think you're being ineffective when you pray. You might think that there's a glass ceiling, but that is all feelings and thoughts of an unrenewed mind that doesn't yet think like God thinks. We have to renew our mind with the way God thinks, and that starts by reading scriptures. It's not the only place you learn how God thinks, but it starts with reading scriptures. Here's what today's big idea really rests upon. Jeff's going to put it on the screen. It is not about you inviting Jesus into your life. It is about Jesus already including you in his. I mean, if it's not about me struggling or trying, I don't need to try to get God to answer. I don't need to pray more. I don't need to get up earlier. I don't need to listen to how other people who are very successful, seemingly, in their Christianity. I don't need to listen to how they pray and try to mimic that. I don't need to read another book on prayer. Jesus has already included me into his life. I can't get closer. I can't get more blessed. Now he says, now what? Let me renew your mind. Let me change your attitude. Let me work with your ideas about God. And watch what happens. Deeply trusting Jesus in prayer expresses itself in two ways. Number one, total surrender. And number two, outward acts of love and service. Look at this visual. I love this. Found it one day, I don't know, on the internet or what have you. Let's go full screen on this, Jeff, so I think Media Bin, you got that? Good, thanks. Faith is recalling that I grow not by trying, but by trusting. It's the foundation of faith. All right? Faith is not trying harder. Faith is not a formula. Oh, gosh, I can't tell you how many years, how many teachers, how many messages in pulpits, how many books I read where absolutely faith was formularic. Is that? Nina goes, you do good, boy. See, all right, so let's talk about this loving trust through surrender. Here's the Hebrew word for trust. Listen, don't be distracted. Listen, this is the Hebrew word for trust. To stretch out or lie down face down. What is that? No, you didn't just go to sleep. It's a picture of a man totally stretched out on his face before God, saying, God, I'm done. I'm finished. No more of my trying to figure this out. Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, which means you would be leaning on nothing, but in all your ways acknowledge him. So I'm going to get on my face before God. I'm going to stretch out my hands, and I'm going to say, God, this is difficult. I do not understand this. This is not what I planned. In fact, I've asked you to do it differently. Okay. And you surrender on the floor, on your face, before God. Now, you might actually do that, I have, but it's also a posture, it's an attitude. Okay, what this is all about really is an attitude. I renew my mind with the fact that life every day is laying myself in my attitudes, my will, my thought life, before God, saying, Lord, I don't understand, but I trust. I've had lots of things, especially recently over the past couple of weeks, to try to figure it out myself. It happens when my wife hands me that little cup of pills, reminding me that I'm in recovery for 12 weeks. Dear Jesus, I've never done anything consistently for 12 weeks. As, you know, a discipline. Racquetball. I mean, that's an overstatement, but you get my point. It's like, No. I don't even like the colors of these things, these pills. They're weird. Okay. And so, now, folks, this is the exact opposite of the militaristic conquering image of the war horse coming into town, fighting battles, conquering, all right, which we love to see. That's Christianity. If we conquer, if everything's going well, we ride into town on our war horse. And preachers preach this, and it's the exact opposite of what Jesus did week before his death. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, not a war horse, a beast of burden, humble, broken, just average, not with triumphalism, but with, I'm trusting the Lord my God. He's going to carry me through my week of passion and submission to death, because I know on the other side of death, I have a message for you. I'm going to preach it soon. On the other side of death is resurrection. We want to go around that. We want resurrection, but we don't want the week of passion going to the grave. Another message, I'll get there though. It's coming up. Trusting God brings a certain element of hope. When you trust God, it renews your hope. If I don't have hope, I can't move through my day. When you're feeling hopeless, all you want to do is kind of go somewhere, maybe put a blanket over your head, cry. God says, I'm your safe place. Romans 8:25. In the meantime, our expectation takes us beyond visual confirmation into a place of patient contentment. Oh, my Lord. How many things over the past week can you say, when I was up against it, I just stopped and I went beyond what I was seeing and I just got quiet and said, all right, I'm going to allow God to bring me into a place of patient contentment. Lord, whatever you're doing and however you're going to work this out, I'm okay with that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. But you need to stick it out, staying with God's plan, so you'll be there for the promised completion. What would it be like if you planted a garden, several vegetables, and every week after planting it, you went out and kind of dug around looking for the sprout? You'd kill it, right? We leave it in the ground. You don't go moving the soil and checking to see that. It's coming. It's going to come. It's built into the DNA of the seed. He says, I want you there. I need you there when it comes up. So don't give up. Verse 35 says it this way. Verse 35 of that context says, don't throw away your confidence. See, trust believes there's something redeemable amidst devastation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted above what you can bear. That's not moral temptation to do something immoral. That's trials, tests, challenges of life, compromises that face us every day. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way to escape. He said all things work for your good. See, trust embraces mystery, believing that God will cause us to see him more clearly. Consider Job. Now, people preach about Job as if one of two ways. I've heard Job preached in one of two ways. All the suffering and things you're going through, God sent them to you because of things in your life. And so, you know, get your life right and you'll come out the other end and, you know, hope God will bring you through that. Like Job's friends were telling him and accusing him of doing. God sent this. Your life's not right, so get right with God. That's one way. The other way that a lot of charismatic word of faith Pentecostal type groups, not all of them, but some, and I was part of one, that taught that, well, at the very beginning of the book of Job, it says, and the thing Job feared so greatly came upon him. And so they teach, well, the whole reason all that happened to Job was because he was in fear. So if you just get out of fear, the bad things won't happen. I used to teach that. Well, see, that puts it back on you, doesn't it? It's something you're not doing right. It's something you need to do better. You need to pray more. You need to use the right words. You need to get closer to Jesus. You need to overcome your fears and your thoughts. Get your thought life right and all of this. You. And it goes back to our statement. This isn't about us inviting Jesus into our life. This is about the fact that he's already invited us into his. There's a fascinating verse in the book of Job, all the way at the end, which usually people just don't read all the way to the end. It's found in chapter 42, verse 5, kind of just hidden there. Watch this. I had heard about you before, but now I see you. I've seen you. The things, the trials, the struggles, the challenges you are going through will bring you, if you'll stay steady, they'll bring you to a new place of seeing God more clearly. Job said, God, I can see it now. I thought I knew you. Man, I've been a Christian for 10 years, 20 years. I've gone to church faithfully. I've sung in the choir. I've given money. I've, and yet I'm experiencing my Job suffering. And it's all about not, or trying to skirt and go around the week of passion, the difficulties, the compromises, the tests, because we want resurrection, but we don't want crucifixion. It's very hard. And Jesus said, take up your cross, didn't he? Take up your cross. Now, we can get into the exegesis of all that that means, but I know this. Job said this. Look, I've come through all of this, you guys, and I actually see God more clearly. Is that possible? Is it possible to come out the other side and say, I've seen God more clearly through this? How many people do you know that come through a big test and say, I see God more clearly? Trust holds up a full-length mirror revealing the depth and quality of your own faith. James 1, verses 2 and 4, or 2 through 4. Temptations and contradictions in different shapes and sizes and intervals, their intention is always to suck you in to their energy field. However, my friends, your joy in who you know you are leads you out triumphantly every time. Here is the secret. Joy is not something you have to fake. It is the fruit of what your faith knows to be true about you. You know that the proof of your faith results in a persuasion that remains constant in contradiction. What is it that you know about you? You are hidden in Christ. He's brought you into that relationship. Earlier in this series, we talked about the divine dance, how God has brought us into, listen, perichoresis, the divine dance and celebration. I believe that was number 3 in our series. You ready for this? Romans 8. I love this verse. From the Message translation, Jeff will have it up for you. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs or aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows our pregnant condition, and he keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked out into something good. Wow. Trust. Laying yourself out before him in surrender. Now, I told you that the second thing that it is, and that you'll find as a result of trusting him deeply, is acts of service and love. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So not only your mind and renewing your mind and your attitudes, but go ahead and offer your bodies to him as spiritual worship. In other words, connecting with the sacred. This morning, and I had never seen this, we talked about it earlier, my wife and I, maybe even just this morning, I don't remember, or last night, but I saw something, honey, and we haven't had a chance to talk about it since our conversation. Here at St. John's, part of their liturgical morning on Palm Sunday is they hand out palm branches to everybody that's here. And then they all exited the sanctuary and went out into the foyer and or stood outside. And then there was a call to procession, and they came in waving the palm branches. And in that moment, I saw something. It isn't about right or wrong. It isn't about just an ordination or whether I should do something or not. What was being done is an expression using your body of the Lord's path to the cross, which was submission to a week of suffering, knowing there was going to be resurrection on the other side. The palms were a sort of surrender. The Roman soldiers, when they triumphed and walked in to the rode into the city on their horses in triumphalism, you know what they were doing? They were dragging slaves who had neck chains, collars around their neck, and they were dragging slaves who were bound by the neck behind them in procession, representing the people group that they had conquered. Jesus turns all of that upside down, rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, and they're waving palm branches. Humble, unassuming, not victorious, not the idea of a conquering king. He comes as the servant who washed their feet. And John Wesley, founder of the Methodist movement, said this, asking us not to question this type of surrender. Listen, and I quote, "Whether we think or speak to God, whether we act or suffer for him, all is prayer. When we have no other object than his love and the desire of pleasing him, all that a Christian does, even in eating and sleeping, is prayer. When it is done in simplicity, according to the order of God, without either adding or diminishing from it by his own choice." Isn't that? So as they walked in this morning waving the palm branches, one might think, how silly. What is that? But it was a representation with a physical expression of submission, humility, and trusting God to bring them through their difficult weeks to resurrection. And I thought, thank you, Jesus. I've asked a couple of individuals to join me to pray a prayer this morning. I've not told them what to pray, but I described to them that based on the message, I'd like them to pray in a certain manner. And I want to first, before they come and pray, I want to have us all corporately pray the prayer that I've brought and am going to place on the screen. Would you and the live stream audience there, would you join us in praying this corporately, all right? As our prayer to the Lord. Let's look at our corporate prayer now. Ready? Let's pray. Lord, place us in the text of Scripture rather than the certainty of a constitution. Open our eyes to see the conversation, the story, the predicament, the spirit, and the incredible community of people who keep bumping into the living God. May we be a people who, even in the midst of experiencing setbacks, disappointment, and messiness, are best of all a people who are growing in trust of Jesus and one another. Cause us to see what you see, to feel what you feel about your church. Increase our faith that we can be part of making a difference, even starting anew. Honey, you want to come and pray whatever you have? She has the red microphone.
Well, Father, in regards to trusting you, I and a number of the people I know in my life are entering the last quarter of our lives, that's a pretty daunting thought. And so I put my trust in you this morning, Lord, regarding the remaining years of my life, regarding my body, regarding functioning, and regarding being who you want me to be in these years.
Thank you, sweetie. Jill.
Lord, we want to thank you for the cross. We want to thank you for what it means, what it stands for, because even though we enter into death, we know that resurrection is on the other side. Mm. We want to thank you for our minds and our ability to know and learn about you, and we trust that as we become closer with you, you will continue to open our minds and reveal a little bit more about yourself so we can understand a little bit more.
Amen. Thank you, Jill. Yeah. Would you come?